Welcome from the deep. I am Mike the Finder.
And I am Book of Brett.
And today we're going to be talking about the 1981 film Scanners from David Cronenberg. But before we get into that, let me do just a little bit of housekeeping. This will only take a second. If you're only watching us on YouTube, go make sure you check out your favorite podcast listening app, Spotify, whatever other ones are out there at this point, probably nothing. And then if you're only listening to us on your favorite podcast listening device, make sure you go check out the YouTube app, because we are on there at From the Deep on YouTube, where we put a lot of content that does not make it over onto the RSS feed over on the YouTube side of things. Like, and for instance, we a few weeks ago or whenever it went up, we just did some trailer reactions. There's some movie watch along stuff on there too. There's a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't make it over there. So make sure you go check us out on YouTube at From the Deep. And let's just get into this, because this is a movie that I've wanted to watch for a really long time. And I feel like it's been a blind spot for Cronenberg for me for like ever. And it's just something I've just never gotten around to. Have you seen this before?
I have not seen this before. In fact, I've only seen, as far as I know, one David Cronenberg movie, and that is the absolute mindfuck that is Naked Lunch.
You haven't seen The Fly with Jeff Goldblum?
No.
What? Videodrome?
No. So here's what happened. I started watching this, and then I started looking up his filmography, because you have mentioned him so many times. I needed to see how many times I was going to be ridiculed in front of the internet by you.
I mean, the fact that you haven't seen Videodrome is a little disappointing.
Well, you're disappointing.
Nightbreed is really good. Dead Ringers is really good. I'm just going through his thing on IMDb here.
As we have established, you are the horror nut job that half of this podcast, and I am more I'm more grounded than you are in general.
Oh, buddy. But yeah, Rabbit.
Wait, this isn't the mirror. This isn't the mirror. Sorry, I tell myself that so often in the mirror. I have to.
Just can't be nice. He can't just be nice and talk about stuff. He always has to be.
Oh no, that was a comment on my insecurities, not on you being a piece of shit.
So anyway, yeah, I can't believe you've only seen one fucking, and of all of his movies, Naked Lunch, that's such a weird one to zero in on.
Yeah, I know this is not a Naked Lunch review, but I saw Naked Lunch when I was younger and doing just copious amounts of acid, and came across this because one of our mutual friends went, "Hey, wouldn't this be fun?" And I went, "I don't know anything about it, put it on." And by the end of it, my brain shattered.
Well, I've only seen Naked Lunch once, and it was with you after you bought the Criterion Blu-ray, I think.
Yeah.
And that is a mind fuck of a movie. So I can imagine that would be kind of interesting.
Yeah. So I say all that though, but to say that's what I went into this in my head of Cronenberg with.
Well, I mean, that's fair. Cause like he
that
does
was a
do
terribly
a lot
worded
of
sentence, but you know what?
I know what you mean. It is fair though, because that is exactly the type of shit you should be thinking of when you think David Cronenberg, like super out there, weird, abstract, avant-garde, horror style mostly movies.
Instead of it being wacky, it's wacky,
right? And that's the kind of the weird thing I think about Scanners, is that Scanners is way more of like a straightforward, like almost thriller than it is like a fucking body horror movie or anything like
it's like sci-fi
that.
Horror
it's like sci-fi thriller horror-esque, I would say. The only real horror things that it has is right at the beginning and right toward the end, I would argue.
Up until then, it's got a Steven Seagal in the 80s feel.
Yes, and it's very like it's very subtle on his style. And we'll get into it, but that's the weird thing about Scanners, is that it's not your typical Cronenberg movie.
Well, and this movie is something that I was reading about being the movie that really put him in the mainstream, like introduced him to mainstream audiences. And I think that's why it worked, because he stopped being so Cronenberg.
Well, yeah, because up until then he had done like The Brood and Rabid and Shivers. And since you haven't seen any of these, you don't really know what I'm talking about. But they're, you know, like 70s movies. And I know you're not like, even the older horror that you do like, I know you don't typically go back to like the 70s.
No.
And the 70s has a real specific style to it. So without further ado, let's just get into it. Do you want to give us a synopsis of Scanners from 1981? Then we will jump over to the podcast drive-in, take a look at some of the stats, and then we will talk about our initial impressions, and we will give our rating and final thoughts toward the end. This is going to contain spoilers. There's not a ton to spoil, but we will let you know before we start getting into the spoilers. So why don't you give us the synopsis?
James the Brain Bond must use crazy eyes and Jedi mind tricks to take on the powers of another telekinetic trying to build his own brain gang and destroy society.
See, that's the way to do it. If you're going to do a stupid synopsis, it has to wrap the fucking plot into the synopsis. Okay, that was good.
What did I text you? I texted you before we did this.
You did.
Best synopsis ever.
Yeah. Yeah, more like that, and less, this is like all my ex-girlfriends or whatever you said during.
I was also, yes, yeah, no, that one was personal. I was dealing with some stuff. If it wasn't James the Brain Bond, I was also going to say brunette Mark Hamill.
Yeah, he's, what is that guy's name? Stefan Lack.
There's something about him in this, just like, something about him in this feels like Luke Skywalker was just having like a dream the whole time.
Well,
if he was having a dream the whole time and that leaked into reality, that's what would happen here.
Well, I've seen other people say that he's really like uptight and like not very good in this.
I
think that's the point of his acting in this movie, because like she even says to him, like, you're barely human, and we won't get into the spoilers and everything yet. But I think that's part of the point of how he's acting.
Do you think they saw his acting style and went, oh?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. The other part of it is this is from 1981. So I think it's important that we look through it through the lens of 1981. We're barely out of the 70s here. And this very much still has the 70s style to it, especially in the acting and the lighting and the cinematography.
It's one step away from 1920s Radio Man.
Yeah, pretty. At this point, it kind of is. Yeah. So if we jump over to the podcast drive-in here, Scanners from 1981, it's rated R. It is an hour and 43 minutes. It is 6.7 out of 10 on IMDb. And the one sentence synopsis is: a scientist trains a man with an advanced telepathic ability called scanning to stop a dangerous scanner with extraordinary psychic powers from waging war against non-scanners. That was a fucking mouthful.
Okay. Just I got notes on that. He doesn't really train him. He more goes, hey, you have this power. Here's an exercise you're going to do for 10 minutes with this old feeble man.
It literally
now
is
go
one
save
scene.
The fucking world.
Yeah, it's literally one scene. And then he kicks, he kicks his ass out the door. Like,
he's not Professor X.
Yeah, this does give the impression that like he spends a bunch of time like training him, and like a Kill Bill scenario or something. Exactly. And it really is just
montage.
Like, hey, raise this guy's heartbeat. Oh, you can do that? Okay, go do this thing. The other thing that bothers me about that, by the way, is that he literally doesn't even spend any time like bringing him over to his side. After he has him kidnapped and darted and he wakes up in this strange room, he's just like, you're a scanner and I'm a scanner expert. So raise this guy's heartbeat and now go do what I told you to without me having to bring you over to my side at all.
Yeah, Cameron's got a real help me daddy vibe about him.
Yeah, it really does. Like, older man, I'm homeless. Please help me. Fucking
please,
weirdo.
Sir. Mall Chinese food?
So this was written and directed by David Cronenberg. It stars Jennifer O'Neill, Stephen Lack, and Patrick McGoohan.
Wait, no, these are my favorite moments on the show when I get to
Patrick McGoohan.
That's just got to be like an overspelling of Magoon, right?
McGoohan, how would you say that? That's McGoohan.
McGoohan sounds like something you'd do on a comedy porno.
That's gross.
I'm McGoohaned all over her.
So, all right, since this is both of our first time watching this, I think this is going to be kind of interesting. Why don't you go ahead and give me your initial thoughts on Scanners?
Scanners is fun. It is fun, but this is not, I feel like I was expecting something more from David, not from David Cronenberg, because the story's a lot of fun. It's unique. It's hi-fi. It's hi-fi sorer. It's sci-fi horror. So it's right up my alley. But this guy that plays Cameron God damn, I don't like him, dude. I don't like him at all. But everything around him, I really enjoyed. The special effects are, for lack of a better phrase, mind-blowing. Because I feel like anybody that hasn't seen this is still familiar with, like, probably the most famous scene in this movie with Michael Ironside. And that's the other thing. I really like Michael Ironside.
I do, too. Yeah.
I've always really liked him. And here's the problem. You put Michael Ironside opposite this motherfucker, and when they finally meet, Cameron's what's the guy that plays Cameron again? What's his name?
Stephen Lack.
Stephen Lack's lack of ability to act is very obvious whenever he's put up against Michael Ironside, because Michael Ironside is a good actor. He's such a good bad guy too.
Yeah, he is.
But other than Jason Lack's acting's ability,
whatever.
Who fucking cares? He's an artist now. He quit. So besides his acting and the blatant ADR, ADR throughout literally all this movie, this entire movie is ADR. You'll usually get 70 to 80% on average. This entire movie is ADR'd. But other than those two things, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. The special effects are astounding. They're really good, actually. And then, you know, aside from a few plot holes like him, like the doctor stabbing himself in the beginning while everybody's watching, but nobody's noticing, that stuck out. And then, you know, towards the end with the paperweight, which we'll get to, that's another plot hole. That was a big one.
You're going to have to explain that.
Okay. When he's got the paperweight in his hand at the very, very end, it's the very end. So that's why I didn't want to like go into it too much.
Okay, that's fair. All right. I mean, for me, I think this is fun, but it's, I think, definitely not my favorite Cronenberg movie. This had me wanting more. Like, for instance, when the guards trapped them in Sesek or whatever the fuck it's called. What's it called?
Consec. Sisek.
Sounds
like a really, really hetero security company.
Whenever there's those two guards on either side of them and they make them see their mom, my initial thought there was like, why isn't there more of this? You physically visualizing what they're doing to people, because I think you could have gone really fucking crazy and wacky with that whole thing. And is really what I wanted to see out of this. And that's not the movie's fault. This is definitely a more subdued, subtle version of what Cronenberg usually does. And like I said, it's way more of a straightforward sci-fi thriller type thing than it is anything else. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, the problem is that that's not what you expect from a Cronenberg movie. So when you go into this, especially if you've seen Videodrome, which admittedly is a few years after this. And if you've seen The Fly, stuff like that, I think that just knowing that all of that stuff, which when this came out, none of that existed yet, but knowing those other movies that he has made, Naked Lunch, even Rabid and a couple other things, you just expect something different from Cronenberg from this movie. And I think that that's its biggest downfall, but that's not necessarily its fault. I think that me going into it with specific expectations is something I've been trying to avoid lately. But when you have a director as infamous as Cronenberg, not to mention that infamous ass scene right there at the beginning that I'm sure you've seen before this, right?
Yeah.
You had seen that before, even though you had never seen this movie. Me too. I think everybody has seen the head exploding thing right there in the first scene. So when you see that mixed with, hey, this is a Cronenberg movie, it sets certain expectations that this movie doesn't necessarily meet. But with all that being said, I think it's a really good, strong, well-written thriller movie. It's just not what I was expecting from it.
Yeah, well, like you said, I mean, when you've got movies like what he's done and then you go into this, it's like, especially when in the first like 10 minutes a head explodes,
that's the exactly, it sets a whole this tone that it never really reaches. It never really meets the expectations it sets until like the last 4 minutes of the movie. So
you could tell he's really, really trying to toe the line between, okay, I want to be weird with this shit and I want to appeal to a wider audience with it too. Yeah. You can tell he's doing that because there are so many moments that are open to like more body horror, to more gore. And he really does skirt around a lot of scenes where he could have made it super, super disturbing.
Oh yeah. Especially when people are catching on fire and shotguns to the face and like all that kind of stuff. You could tell he wrote it in there and maybe with the expectation of this is going to go crazy, but it's almost like you can tell he's stopping himself from doing that on purpose, like you said, probably to reach as many people as possible, which is fine. And like you said earlier, this, I think, is the movie that really introduced him to a big, wider audience. So I guess it worked, especially when we consider that this was 1981 and his next movie as a director was 1983, which was Videodrome. And if you had seen Videodrome, you would know that he really takes all of that body horror shit up to the next level and really goes crazy with it. So I guess what he wanted to do worked.
This is like when a heroin junkie switches to methadone. They're still getting high, but it's just not the same.
A lot of drug talk from you today.
There are a lot of drugs in this movie.
I mean, I guess that's true. Yeah.
I'm on theme. Fuck you.
Well, I just think that the idea in here of Scanners is maybe way better than the actual execution of the movie Scanners. Because it's such a high-minded idea.
Concept.
It's so fucking cool. But what he does with it, and maybe this was a budget issue, maybe this was a special effects issue, I don't know. But what he does with it maybe just isn't, it's not cool enough with how fucking awesome the idea is.
Yeah, well, and there's, I feel like it almost feels like the middle of it almost felt a little fragmented, not completely, but I do feel like we end up in this, like, it's almost got kind of like a dreamlike state, kind of like what Kubrick was doing with a Wide Eyes Shut, where it feels a little fragmented.
I purposely didn't say anything. You said Wide Eyes Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut.
That's why I didn't say anything, because it wasn't important. Go ahead.
Eyes Wide Shut.
And now I've gotten you off your fucking train of thought. And
yeah, did it when you said something to begin with.
But I didn't say anything.
Shut up. I'm on a thing. It was very, it does have this like surreal type thing going on at a certain point. And I think that is very Cronenberg-esque, because that's a really good, it's always, I like movies that do that because it's a really good way of fucking with the audience psychologically without really putting it on screen, even though the screen is what's making you feel that way.
Yeah, well, I mean, and he tries, like, yeah, I don't know.
You said that like a third grade teacher that just saw the shittiest school project.
Well, I just don't
try.
I mean, I don't want it to come off as like I hated this because I really didn't. I think this is pretty fucking well made film, especially for 1981. When you consider some of his, I don't know, some of the people that were also making movies in 1981, especially in this same genre, this just seems a little subtle. That's all. And there's, oh, yeah, again, no,
it's
nothing
definitely
wrong
tame.
With that.
It's tame as hell.
Yeah.
I think if you look at it in the context of when it was made, I feel like the scenes that are really over the top and cool for the time, I feel like that's about as much as he probably could have gotten away with while still reaching a mainstream audience.
I mean, that's true. But also 1981 is the year that the slasher boom starts and people are more willing than ever to be freaked out and shit like that by gore. So I don't know. I just think that the biggest problem this movie has is it's just too subtle and I wanted more out of it. But again, that's not the fucking movie's fault. It's just not the movie's fault.
So it's your fault?
When I try to look at it through a 1981 lens, this holds up pretty fucking well. But when we look at it, looking back at his filmography, it's just not his best work. And again, it's still a really good movie. It's just not his best work. That's all.
I will agree with you on that. Not that I like have much to base it off of, but based on Naked Lunch, like if that's the caliber of what to expect from Cronenberg, then yeah, this one comes a little out of left field for him.
Well, and that's the thing is that's 10 years later. He has Dead Ringers. He does The Fly, The Dead Zone, Videodrome, all within Naked Lunch, from Scanners all the way up to Naked Lunch. So he gets a lot better as he goes. It's just I wish you had seen Videodrome because I think it's kind of easy to compare this movie to Videodrome, especially they were made really close together. It was his next film. And I just think that he was maybe let off his leash a little bit more with Videodrome. And that is, and you can really tell, and that movie really benefits from it. That's,
I just, saying he's off his leash, I just have this image of the producers getting the movie and them just going, oh my God, that's what he did with her money.
Well, it's got James Woods in it too. So.
He did get James Woods.
Yep, he did.
We've all got James Woods. Except Twitter. I don't think Twitter has James Woods anymore.
No, I think they unblocked him.
That's okay. He's a psycho.
All right. Well, let's get into spoilers a little bit. I think the biggest turnaround of this movie is when we find out, A, that he can hack.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
What do they call it?
Finish it.
The fuck.
Well, he can scan computers, and yeah, I decided. It doesn't matter why. What matters is the term
it's really
I came up.
Stupid.
The term I came up for this moment is scacking, because he's scanner hacking.
Oh, it's really gross sounding for some reason.
He's scacking. Yeah, oh,
it's really
scacking.
Gross. I scacked all over the place. That thing.
Oh my God. Did you see what he did to the boards? He scacked all over them.
Well, because he can hack the fuck. What do they call it?
What do they call like the thing he's doing?
When the fucking colonel guy figures out what he's doing, he goes, oh, he can hack the circuitry. What is it? What do they say? Because it's really fucking stupid. He says toward the end, he says the nervous system of the computer and his nervous system are both linked. And so because he can, and the doctor even says, because you can hack the nervous system of a person, you can hack the nervous system of a computer. And that leads me into the whole thing of like, he wrote this before the internet was a thing, right?
Right.
And before a lot of the computer stuff that we know today was.
Do you think maybe he didn't even own a computer yet?
Maybe not. I don't know. But it doesn't seem like he knew a lot about it when he was writing it.
No, because I can only imagine there was like some computer engineer watching this movie going, that's not how it works.
That's what I was doing. And I'm not even like that deep in it because
like
it just feels so like, oh, this is probably how it works, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, because honestly, like, okay, if we're going to take the analogy of its central nervous system is the same as his, which is presumably the same as everyone else since he's human and not an alien, and this is all a power from his brain, which isn't just all the only part of his central nervous system.
Well, he's not a human. Well, I guess he is technically, but
he's a quote freak of nature.
Well, no, toward the end, when we find out. What's his face's name? Reddick. When we find out Reddick. that they're brothers, they find out that they've been on ice their entire life, which is why they don't have any fucking memories or anything like that. So yeah, like they are human, but they're like really, really stupid because they don't have any life experience or memories or any of that stuff.
Well,
which is why I said earlier, I think he plays this really well, Stephen Lack, because of that very reason. Like he's very robotic and doesn't know how to act and is very awkward and like, and makes weird eye contact with people and all that stuff because he doesn't know the etiquette and hasn't grown up in a world where he knows this stuff. He just woke up and doesn't have memories or any of that stuff. So when you look at it that way, I think that his performance is being led by that more than anything else, but it does come off as him being sort of not a great actor, if that makes sense.
I liked it. When he said that we've been on ice our whole lives, I was like, well, I mean, yeah, if I'd been tweaking that long, I would have drilled a hole in my head, too.
Right? Yeah. But that's, I mean, he fucking, I don't know. He's been awake for way longer, so he knows how all this stuff works. And, you know, he was crazy, so he drilled a hole in his head. But still, he's been awake longer, so that's why I'm saving. That's why I'm saying, Cameron Vail. I think that like that's just that. That's why he is the way he is because he just doesn't know any better, and he's fucking awkward.
Do you think there's a tie-in with Driller Killer in here, where Michael Ironside's character is like the one that got away?
You know what I thought of when I saw that was Dead Like Me. One of the characters in Dead Like Me drills a fucking hole into his head because he hears it's the best trip that you can have. And that's how he ends up killing himself because he literally puts a fucking drill in his head.
Oh, God, that's right. The brain's back there.
Oops. But all right. Well, do you have anything else to say about this?
Not really. It's like I said, I went into this and my only Cronenberg reference was Naked Lunch, and this was not Naked Lunch. And so I was
we gotta get you on some more Cronenberg, dude.
Do we?
Yeah, you have to see Videodrome. You gotta see Videodrome at least.
Body horror just makes me so uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, I think the fact that it's older helps because it's practical effects and you can look at it of like, ah, that's pretty cool looking.
It didn't help with Cannibal Holocaust when you made me watch a turtle get mutilated.
Okay, those weren't practical effects. That was real. That's why.
Right, which is like the most practical effect you can possibly get.
I mean,
that's super practical.
I guess. It's not an that's effect, though. Practical. It's just what's actually happening.
It's super-tical.
All right, well, why don't you give me your rating thoughts on Scanners.
Scanners is a lot of fun. I was definitely expecting more out of it. I don't know if this is one that I would sit there and like really recommend to people when they're gonna go watch a Cronenberg film for the first time. Again, like we've said, I don't have a ton of reference to do that. However, you've also made the point that this is basically before Naked Lunch.
10 years before, yeah.
And this is one that took place or that was filmed years before the ones that you would recommend too, right?
Yeah. At least so. It's 2 years before Videodrome. So
we have to kind of keep that in mind too. But overall, I'd give it a 5 out of 10.
Wow. That's way lower than I thought you were going to go. Okay. You know, for me, I think the acting is actually pretty good in this. And that's one of the things that a lot of people complain about. It's just a matter of having the reference point of kind of what acting was like in 1981 outside of horror movies and shit like that. This really feels like a 70s movie more than anything else, even though it came out in 81. So if we look at it like
major
that,
Logan's Run feels exactly in the mall.
And so the acting was just different back then. So it's, you know, it's like when you go back and you watch 50s and 60s movies and they all talk like this. It's just how it was back then. So I think holding the acting against it is a little unfair, but the special effects are fucking incredible. Even though I wanted more of those, the stuff that's in here, when his fucking eyes explode at the end and he catches fire and all that stuff, the wounds on his face, all that shit is super fucking cool. It's really well done. I think that there's a reason that the most iconic scene from this movie is the head exploding scene, because it's fucking awesome. It's just too bad that it happens 5 minutes into this movie, and then you kind of spend the rest of the movie waiting for something equally as cool to happen.
Sometimes it's good to bury the lead.
Yes, and it just never lives up to that first 5 minute head explosion scene. So despite being really fucking good, I think this is, and it is really well written, I think this is just kind of pretty good. I don't think this is nearly his best work, but it doesn't need to be. This definitely got him to where he was going with Videodrome and several of the other movies that he made after that, especially The Fly, shit like that. You can when you go back and watch his movies kind of in order, you can really see him stepping up to where he gets to. And not to mention, right. I also wanted to put out that Brandon Cronenberg's movie Possessor really reminded me, as far as the idea goes, of Scanners. And so I think it's cool that his kid is also making super weird, mind fucky, high minded stuff like this as well. He's, in my opinion, just doing it in a more modern way, so it comes off a little bit more legible in the modern world now. So I don't know. I liked this, and I think 5 is too low. So I went ahead and rated this a 7 out of 10. It's good. It's just not nearly as good as some of his other work, but there's nothing wrong with that. And like I said, you can really see the progression from movie to movie when you watch him in order, and how he became fucking David Cronenberg. So,
oh my God, what if he did become Brandon Cronenberg? What if his son's actually just like a clone from a mole on his back?
You saw Infinity Pool. You know how weird and mind fucky that movie is.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that one either.
I think we need to do an episode on Possessor. Is what I think we need to do.
We need to do an episode about you being wrong all the time.
Maybe when it's my turn to pick next, we'll do Possessor.
Okay. So stay tuned next week for my pick, Song of the South.
No, veto. Hard veto on that. Absolutely not. All right. Well,
we'll have to pirate it. It's like the one Disney movie I don't own.
Yeah, that's because it's like impossible to find.
Well, also, I have a soul. It's small, but it's big enough to not be able to watch from the title card to the end credits.
Yeah, I've seen clips of it, and it's pretty fucking bad.
But it's pretty bad.
All right. Well, if you like this, make sure you hit that like button. If you really liked it, make sure you hit the subscribe button, because we got a lot more content like this on this channel. Let us know down in the comments how you feel about Scanners, because I'm sure there are people that love this just as much as I love Videodrome. Because
they're all gonna yell at me.
I get that. And I just think that Scanners is just way slower than I was expecting it to be. So there's just some expectations when you sit down to watch Scanners when you've seen The Fly and Videodrome and Dead Ringers and several others. So let us know what you were thinking about this down in the comments, because I'd really like to hear from somebody that really loves this movie a lot. Thank you guys for watching, and we will see you guys next time for Run the Deep. Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.